Well, it's fantastic to be here with you this morning. It's fantastic to welcome you at home. I've had a real challenge this week because I knew what God wanted me to say, but I didn't know how to say it. And as it happened, the guys in our Connect group went out for a drink on Friday night, and as I was chatting with Jim as we walked home in the rain, something he said just slotted everything in place to me, so that was fantastic. I just had to spend yesterday writing all my notes. But there we go. I want to... The title of this message today is The Day the River Moved. I don't usually give you the title, but I want to show you a picture, and hopefully it's going to appear on screen. It's on that screen. It's not on the stream screen yet. There we go. It's a picture of a bridge in Honduras. I'm getting messages to step this way. It's a picture of a bridge in Honduras called the Choluteca Bridge. And this bridge was built in 1930. And then I think it was 96, possibly 98, there was a hurricane that came through and moved the river. And so the bridge is now in the land and the river is beside it, as you can see on that photograph. And it's very odd. The bridge has been there for 65 years, or had been. And afterwards, the engineers went to check that it was still safe, and they said, it's in perfect condition. There's nothing wrong with the bridge, it's just in the wrong place. The landscape has changed. The structure was good, but it was useless. And you may have already cottoned on to the fact that I'm about to say, COVID-19 has moved the river. Everything has changed. Lots of the structures which we had are no longer useful. In fact, they might be useless, like that bridge. The river still flows to the sea. The water still falls as rain, and it still travels to where it's going. It just goes in a different way. And that's a challenge for us as a church, because as we look at that bridge and as we see what is there, the challenge is are we standing on a bridge that is no longer useful? Are we sitting, you know, in a church building that is, well, I wouldn't say without its purpose, but things have changed. And the challenge for us as a church, but perhaps more so as individuals, the things that we have always done, the structures that we have always used, need to change, because circumstances have changed. The river has moved. The challenge for us this morning is that the habits and the culture and the things that we have always done as Christians may not be useful anymore. And the danger in this season is that we try to stay in the old structure. We try to stay doing the thing that we have always done. And the result is that we stagnate or we starve, because we're not feeding ourselves properly. We're not doing the things that are necessary to maintain our walk with God as a Christian. And so this morning, as we look at that bridge and as we ask ourselves that question, I want to challenge you that this is the time for us to stand up and be counted. This is the moment where my walk with God is the important thing, not the structures that I've put around it. A couple of weeks back, I spoke to you about culture and how culture is not the most important thing. Our values, the Word of God, everything that God says is important. The way that we do it, not so important. And so the challenge I want to make to you this morning is to bring that much more personal. A couple of weeks back, we were looking at it in the sense of this is church. This morning, I want to challenge you with your own individual walk with God. Are you doing stuff that's no longer useful? Has the river moved? I'll come to a bit more specifics on that in a moment. But the first thing I want to share with you this morning is this. Remember your vows. In the week, I was reading through some of the Psalms, in the middle of Psalms. I'm going to read you in a moment from Psalm 66. But in several of the Psalms around that area, through the 60s and 70s, David repeats the same thing, and it's this: I will fulfill my vows to you. In Psalm 66, verse 13, David says this: I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. And David, you can see throughout the Psalms, actually, he repeats that sort of sentiment. I'm fulfilling my vows to God. In the New Testament, you can read at the end of Acts, I think it's chapter 18 and 20, 19 or 20, something like that. Twice, Paul makes a vow and he's heading to Jerusalem to keep his vow. And I was thinking about that as I read it this week. What does a vow mean? Well, it means I'm making a promise. In this case, making a promise to God. In this case, my vow is made to God. God, I'm going to do this. And each one of us will have done that at some point in the past. Sometimes it's like when we're in trouble, we're like, God, if you get me out of this, I'll do such and such. But here's the thing. When we sing together, we say, I will offer up my life in spirit and truth. Or, you know, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And, you know, there are so many songs I could tell you that have that sort of sentiment. God, I'm giving you something. I'm promising you something. My plan is to be devoted to you. And that's what David does, and that's what Paul does, and we do it. But here's the moment. As I chatted with Jim about this the other night, he reminded me that it's easy to keep your vow when times are good. You know, our marriage vows to one another, and Sarah's not here this morning, she's away for the weekend, but our vows to one another are easy to keep when times are good. But when the marriage comes under pressure, that's when the vows become important. That's when I have to remember the vows that I made to her. And the same is true in a way of our promise to God. I will follow you, Jesus. Well, that's easy when times are good. But when the river moves, when the pressure comes, when suddenly we're out of our depth and we don't know what to do, those are the times when we return to our vows and we say, God, I'm still committed to you. I'm still going to follow you. I'm still going to serve you, even though things have changed, even though times are difficult, even though I'm under stress or trouble or whatever it might be at the moment. Because our vows are most important when we're in a troubled, in a difficult time. And we've committed ourselves to follow him, to serve him, to grow in our relationship with him. And my challenge this morning is, now is the time to remember the promises that you've made. Now is the time to stand up and be counted. Instead of drifting away from Jesus because times are difficult and things are not as easy as they were, let's recognize the danger and work at our relationship with God. The second thing that I want to speak to you about this morning is this. When the river has moved, it's time to build a new bridge. That may seem obvious. It is obvious When the river's moved, it's time to build a new bridge. That bridge on the screen, they built a new one now. I couldn't find a photograph of the new one. Nobody's really interested in the new one. It's the old one that's in the wrong place. But actually, for the local people in Choletuka, is that how I say it? The new bridge is the important one. The old bridge is just a monument now. The new bridge is the one they use each day to cross the river. The new bridge is the one which gets them where they need to go. And so when the bridge, when the river moves, you need to build a new bridge. The old bridge no longer useful. Maybe the river's, maybe in your life, it's not that the river's moved, it's that the bridge has fallen down. There wasn't enough maintenance on it and you need to build a new one. Well, that's a challenge. In a sense, the things that we need to do to build a new bridge are the same ones we need if the old one's fallen. So my challenge to you this morning and to me this morning is, don't worship at the altar of the old bridge. I reckon the designer and the engineer of that original bridge that's in the middle of the land now are proud of the bridge that they built. I reckon that they maybe go and look at it and think, we did a great job constructing that bridge. Well, the problem is, if you spend your time worshipping at the altar of the old bridge, you still don't get across the river. Don't mourn for what was. Don't mourn for the structure that you created, which is no longer useful. Build a new bridge. And I'm going to return now to something I spoke to you about, I think last year, possibly the year before. Spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are the things that we need to do when times get tough. The things that we keep doing day after day to grow and to build, because that's what builds a bridge. That's what gets us to the place we need to be in our relationship with God. Acts 2 verse 42 says, the disciples devoted themselves to fellowship, prayer, breaking bread, and the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves. That sounds a bit like making a vow, doesn't it? They gave themselves wholeheartedly to it. Prayer, fellowship, breaking bread, the apostles' teaching. Spiritual disciplines that we do to build our relationship with God. But there are others, a few examples. The Word of God, of course, study. Memorizing the Word of God, reading it. If you've never read this Word of God cover to cover, make that your discipline. If you've never remembered verses from the Word of God, make that your discipline. If you've never read it to hear what He's saying to you, make that your discipline. Other spiritual disciplines, obviously prayer, fasting, confession, worship, fellowship, and there are lots of others that I could talk to you about this morning. But the way we used to do some of those things is now not possible. The river has moved. You know, the way we do fellowship now cannot be done the way it used to happen. We've tried other ways. We've used Zoom. We're sitting at a distance from each other and we're not allowed to speak to each other and we have to go quickly at the end and we don't like it. In fact, we really don't like it. But you know, a spiritual discipline would not be a spiritual discipline if it didn't require discipline. If it wasn't hard work for us, it wouldn't be a spiritual discipline. It wouldn't be something. And that's the moment when things are tough, where we have to grit our teeth and get going. When going gets tough, we're gonna determine to ourselves, I'm going to devote myself to this. And if you read when the Acts, when they devoted themselves to fellowship, prayer, breaking bread, and the apostles' teaching. It wasn't easy for them then. They were being persecuted. Saul was going around killing them and all that stuff. But they devoted themselves. I remembered a quote, and it's attributed to Gary Player, but actually Gary Player attributes it to somebody else. But he said one day, "The harder I practice, the luckier I get." Somebody said to him when he was repeatedly holing putts and all of those things. He was a South African golfer, if you don't know who Gary Player was. In fact, somebody bet him, if you hole the next one, I'll give you $100. And when he hold that, he said, I'll give you $500 if you hold the next two or something like that. Or anyway, he hold them and he said, "Oh, you're so lucky." And he said, "The harder I practice, the luckier I get." That's what discipline is about. The harder we study the Word of God, the harder we work at our relationship with Him, the harder we work at fellowship with other, the better it gets. If the river you need to cross is getting your prayer life back on track because it's fallen apart during lockdown, that's where you need to work. How can I build a new bridge? I spoke to somebody the other day who, on their daily commute to work, they'd always listen to like preaching on a podcast, and that was their habit. And when lockdown came, that habit went. And that person said to me, after a couple of months, I realized what had happened, that I was being fed and now I wasn't being fed. So instead of that, now they walk the dog and they put their headphones in and listen to the podcast as they do that. A new bridge to do the same thing that the old bridge once did and doesn't do anymore. If the river is worship, how can I do that without singing? Well, for some of us, that's easier than others. Some of us know what it means to worship in a non-singing way, and some of us, singing is the only way. Pat's not here, but she can worship without singing because she's not able to sing. She doesn't have a voice. But we can worship without singing, and some of us have to cross that river, which means we have to build a new bridge. How can I give myself to Him in worship? It's a real challenge for us, and as we are here this morning not able to sing, some of us are learning what it means to worship in a new way, using our own words. There was a time 25 years ago, probably, maybe nearly 30 years ago, I was on a team that we traveled all around the country, and each day, every morning, we had like a devotional time. And someone would get a guitar, and there were about 20 of us, and we'd sing and we'd worship together. And came to the point where we were singing the same old songs every day, and almost like, this is not worship anymore, this is just singing songs. So for probably a month, we said, no singing in our devotional time in the morning. We're going to worship God with words that come out of our head, not words that come out of somebody else. Now, that was a challenge. It was a real challenge for some people. They didn't know what it meant. But that may be a challenge for each one of us, to learn to use our own words. It's great to have songs that somebody wrote, poetry, to describe God and to give glory to God. But sometimes what God wants to hear is our own words. If my kids came to me and read me a poem, I might be impressed. I probably would be very impressed. They've never done that. Or sung me a song. But actually, what I really want to hear is what's coming straight from their heart. And we can use our own words to worship without singing. This is the real challenge for us, I think, at the moment. The river of fellowship. We're here this morning. We're not allowed, you know, to greet one another properly. We're not allowed to spend time talking with one another, and we hate it, really. We want to be, you know, we want to be normal, but that isn't the way at the moment. We're not allowed to. And I was when we were out the other night again with the guys from our Connect group, I was a bit surprised at the level of the music in the venue we were in, and I was a bit surprised at how close people were together. And I thought we were being liberal with the rules here. They were certainly being very liberal with the rules where we went. But here's the thing. We're doing what we're being asked to do, required to do, to keep one another safe. And there are people who are still yet not confident to come here. And so we need to keep doing that. And we need to keep being as separate as we are, so that those who are not confident feel confident to come. And that's difficult for some of us. Some of us want to be talking to one another. Some of us want to be spending time with one another. Well, here's the thing. The bridge has moved. So you need to build a new bridge. Have your fellowship, but not here. The fantastic thing about our church fellowship over the last 20 years probably has been that I don't usually get home from church until about 2 o'clock. But since we've been doing this, I get home at about 12 o'clock because we have to go and we're not able to stay and we're not able to talk. I've gained 2 hours on a Sunday. I don't really want to gain those 2 hours, but that's just an illustration of how much time we have used to spend fellowshipping after church and how much time we do not spend now. Well, the challenge is to find that time somewhere else. It may be you need to arrange to go out for lunch with somebody after church. Maybe not this week, but next week. Or arrange to meet them and have a meal during the week. And if you're too many, split yourself up into groups. Meet someone for coffee. Spend time together. These are the things that we must build a new bridge to keep the relationships, to keep the fellowship that is lost. We can mourn the loss. We can moan and complain and say the government shouldn't do this and they should let us do that and all that. Well, it is what it is. So let's build a bridge. Hopefully, one day the river will move back. But let's not miss this moment for fellowship. Let's find a different way to do it. We've just bought a patio heater. Haven't used it yet, but so we can invite people around and still sit in the garden and not be cold. You know, that's a new bridge. Hopefully we'll invite some of you around soon. So this morning, I just want to challenge you. There are many spiritual disciplines. There are many things that we need to do to keep ourselves healthy as a Christian. There's lots of stuff which we're now not able to do because the river has moved. And the question this morning I want to ask you is, which ones are you not able to do at the moment? Now, I've illustrated three. But there's probably a bunch of others that you can think of, and particularly in your life, you can think, those are the things that I'm missing. That's what I've not been doing that I need to do to keep myself on track, to keep myself in close relationship with God. Once you know what that is, you need to build a bridge to make it happen. However that might be. And it's very practical. It might be saying, right, I'm gonna go for a walk and pray, or I'm gonna switch off the TV and read my Bible, or I'm gonna listen to a podcast when I'm walking instead of driving, or the simple things. But so easy for us to lose those things without even noticing that they've happened. Just to conclude with this morning, there are many of us standing looking at a bridge that is no longer useful. It's in the wrong place. Many of us standing, mourning the loss, thinking, how can we get the water back under that bridge? And actually, the key is we've got to build a new bridge. The danger is that we ignore this. Three dangers. We ignore this. Nothing's happened. The bridge is fine. And we stand there looking at the river over there, wondering why we're not getting over it. Or another danger is that we fear like we can't do anything. If the river's moved once, maybe it'll move again. Oh no, what can I do? My whole world has crumbled. The third danger is that we blame someone. We blame the government. We blame somebody in China. Blame a conspiracy theory. I'm not into any conspiracy theories, by the way. We blame someone else. The river's moved. It's their fault, not mine. Well, it's moved. You know, we could blame somebody for this river moving. Maybe the hurricane that moved the river was caused by climate change. Who knows? It's not relevant to the people of Choluteca. It's moved already. They need to build a new bridge. All of those three reactions are wrong. None of them will get you to the other side of the river. Now is the time to remember your vow. Now is the time to stand up and be counted. Now is the time to say, God, I'm as committed to you now as I was then. And it's more difficult for me to follow you now, but I'm going to do it anyway. The apostles, the disciples devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. They gave themselves to it. Even though Stephen was stoned to death, even though Peter was imprisoned, even though the disciples were persecuted and scattered, they devoted themselves. And we think we've got it tough. I love the instruction that the angels gave to Peter, James, and John there at the, I think it was all the disciples. Jesus ascends into heaven, and they're standing there. And the angels appear and say, why are you standing looking into heaven? Why are you standing looking into heaven? Jesus is gone. Go to Galilee and do what he told you to do. Why are you standing? And some of us are standing, mourning the loss, wondering when Jesus will return, whatever it might be. And now is the time to stand up and build a bridge. Now is the time to determine that you will continue to grow, even though things are not what you want them to be. To devote yourself. And I'm done. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for your word. So often we have declared, Jesus, I will follow you. Jesus, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And we've made the promise. Father, my declaration this morning is that now, when it's difficult, when the promise is not easy to keep, I'm going to continue to follow you. Father, I pray that every individual in this church will be able to determine to follow you, even when the going is tough, even when things are difficult. Father, I pray you'd help us to be able to stand. Forget the past, moving on to what you've created, to build a new bridge, to create new habits, new spiritual disciplines in our life, but most of all, to continue to serve you and grow as we follow you and are determined to continue to follow you. Father, I pray you'd help us. Father, I pray you'd continue to challenge us. Father, I pray that practically we would see the road ahead, the bridge to build ahead of us. Father, I pray you'd help us. Bring revelation, I pray. In the name of Jesus.